You are now listening to No Dumb Idea.
Listening to No Dumb Idea.
I'm the Dala, baby.
Hey, Dala. Have you noticed we live in a society?
Yeah, baby. You want to know how I got these cars? I got a Buick. A couple Buicks.
Maybe we should look for Gibbledang.
Get in my car.
Yeah, keep going.
Let's get in my car.
No, don't transition into looking for me yet. Yeah. keep going with Dala's car thing.
This is the bit, isn't it? It's
hey guys, welcome back to No Dumb Idea. This is Gibbledang here. It's a pop culture podcast. Who am I joined by? Who are my hosts this week?
Introduce
this
myself.
This is gym leader Nate.
and Dala. If you didn't catch my nice portrayal.
Yeah, flawless. If you couldn't notice, our glorious voices recognize us immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible stuff, as always. Hello, everybody. It's a pop culture podcast, comedy pop culture podcast.
Ooh,
you know, this
week.
Yeah, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know.
Oops.
But we won't say which one. So, let's just get right into it. Who cares about our weeks? They were dog shit. Were they?
Speak for yourself. For
actually,
sure.
I had a fantastic week.
I went
actually.
To the
my
moon.
My week was awesome.
I played a fun game.
Oh my god! I'm just being, a little hint to our premise. I'm feeling so nihilistic and edgy and just god. But it was an amazing weekend, amazing week.
You got drunk and called me after texting me. What's that? Football?
I did. I was at a friend's party, and I was super drunk, and they were playing J-pop. I'm like, oh my god, I know the perfect song for this, and I ended up calling Dala.
Well,
you
texted me first.
I texted you first, and you didn't respond fast enough. I called you like 10 minutes later.
That's a fucking lie.
Whatever. There's no way to possibly prove it. But anyways, I called him and drunkenly tried to be like, hey, what's the song that goes like this? And I'm trying to sing in Japanese. Japanese, drunk.
For reference, too, the text I got was literally at 8:15 p.m., what's he Japanese touchdown song? To which I respond immediately, what? And then you call me at like 10-ish because I sent you the song at 10:30-ish. So,
all right.
Yeah, it's Dressed Down.
You know,
it's
that
a
was
great
a,
song.
It was a great song, Dressed Down. It was a good party, too. It was fun. Yeah, how was your weeks?
I'll just get out of the way because mine was very boring, very nothing. Mm-hmm. I got to sleep a couple more times this week, which was nice. And played a bunch of the new Magic set on Magic Arena over and over again.
Ooh. Nice.
Other than that, this
you
about
got any
it.
Favorites?
I mean, Salt Eye is so like the reanimation theme is just like so nice in the new set, and I built a new commander deck again after we did the in person pre release. Mm-hmm. And I made Tavall, and he is. I think it's going to be a very nutty deck.
For your nut
allows
deck.
Me to do
full of nuts.
Yeah.
Again, just going nuts. Allows me to play things like Sire of the Seven Deaths for free.
Hey, is that a squirrel on your patio? Because that's a nutty deck. That's good.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty
that's
good
a
one.
Good one.
That is.
You guys can have that.
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Episode of Tim Man Toolman Taylor? Because you're a nutty.
Yeah.
Deck. What the fuck did you just say?
There you go.
Crazy episode?
He just called you Tim Allen.
There you go. There
he
you
also
go.
Called you, are you crazy episode? What does that mean?
A crate because he's nutty. A nutty deck.
Okay.
It was terrible.
Makes sense to me.
It was a bad
okay,
pull
okay.
on purpose. But sorry.
How about you, Dollop? How was your week?
Well, funny, actually. Yeah. I played a game called Sorry We're Closed, which has been fucking fun. I'll recommend
more game?
It. Sorry We're video Closed. Game? Yeah, yeah, video game, yeah.
Yeah, video game.
Yeah. Huh? I just bring it up because I saw
Five
a review.
Nights at Freddy's?
Huh? Oh, no.
Five Nights at Freddy's?
It's a...
Okay. Yeah, same game.
Yeah, same game. Sorry, we're Five Nights at Freddy's. Oops.
Oops.
No, but I got it after... Because I've seen it. It's one of those, like, RE, like, one style, like, PS1 style.
Oh.
But I heard it described as, like, a review described it as queer Silent Hill. And I was like, ooh. So I was like, all right.
Oh, nice.
It's like,
So the zombies are all gay?
You're gay. Mm-hmm. The characters you play.
I'm also a zombie.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
The character.
Oh, wow.
But, it's fun. It's like half visual novel, graphic novel, or whatever those ones you play, like a dating sim, but like kind of.
Yeah.
And then the other half
choice making.
Yeah. And then the other half is like a Silent Hill, gay. Like Resident Evil 1 style.
Oh.
It's fun. I'm almost done with it, too. It's fucking great. But that's about it.
That's
fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's not a nutty deck, but nice. Yeah, it's getting there.
It's but, not a it's nutty there, dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Bye.
All right. So yeah, that's our show. That's
long day.
Yeah.
Okay. Long day. Taxes. Did taxes yesterday.
I did. I'm doing them now.
Went on a walk today. Okay. So let's just jump right into the premise. Mm-hmm. Why not? So. You know, I told you guys this a couple days ago, but this week it's going to be literally me characters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's going to be two kinds of there's going to be two kinds of discussions that we're going to do. And basically, you know, I want to talk about characters that people misinterpret and decide to be like, oh, my God, that's literally me. And then I want to talk about characters that we identify with, that we think, you know, kind of put ourselves in that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully there's no overlap because...
I'm sure there will be.
I hope not. For you, Dala, maybe.
Doesn't be just...
I mean, actually, maybe both of you. You two are a couple of jokers, so, ooh. You know.
Oh, yeah, I really relate to the, you know, the Joker famously portrayed by Jared Leto.
Yeah, yeah, that one specific. Yeah. And I like the
wicked, nihilistic sense of humor.
Yeah, I like the walk-in one, mm-hmm. But particularly it's from part two. Or Joaquin. Sorry, Joaquin.
Joaquin?
Fucking. It's me, the Joker, baby. What is he? Where I got these smiles.
Who's that? Is that supposed to be?
That's supposed to be Christopher Walken. I've never said I was a good improviser or impressionist.
You want to know?
Yeah,
I got these. Scars.
I have said I'm a good improviser.
Yeah, I have that. I have said that. Yeah.
My father, he was a bit of a drinker.
Sorry. No, I'm my like father. Genuinely want to see that now. That'd be great.
So yeah, you know, what do you guys want to start with? You want to start with characters that? Let's actually start with. let's go ahead and start with the characters that people misidentify. The
sure, sure.
Just the complete point. We should probably talk about the Joker. Let's get it. I feel like we should start with the Joker.
Yeah, it is like number one hot button. The worst people you know relate to this character.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, character.
I'm complete chaos.
Very funny thing.
We live in society.
I'm wicked, dark, twisted sense of humor, and that's just me. And my God, I'm just like, I could snap at any moment, and then they. Oh, Jesus
and then they
Christ. It's a very good source for cringe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Now I'm thinking about my... I kind of do want to rewatch that old video where the guy's like, I'm the Joker, baby, because that might not be
I'm
as cringy as it, like, Joker has become, funny. I feel like it's become worse. It's probably still cringe.
But that's a... Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's Joker across the board, you know? It's... As a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, Joker's cool, like he's just a crazy clown, you know what I mean? But it's I don't know, the novelty,
I guess. I'm curious,
the people that really identify with that is just like, oh, you clearly have much larger problems at hand.
What to you guys is like the like peak, or what's Joker supposed to be, kind of thing? Like, what's the best portrayal, you know what I'm saying, if that makes sense?
Probably Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I think cartoon Mark Hamill like is just it's one that is still like it's still a little bit eerie, but mostly like like just hams it up super like
funny sinister. Like that's the best way to put it.
And it's silly. You know, at the end of the day, it's kind of supposed to be silly, I feel like. It's to comics. Really hit.
There's some points in the comics where like Joker tries to get his car valeted and the valet is like, aren't you gonna kill me? And the Joker's like, that's not gonna be funny. Why would I kill you? You
I
know
just,
what I mean?
I just need to get this done.
Yeah, like the but there's no joke like, there.
I've always thought, and even in the animated series, there's the episode where I think he accidentally poisons it's the laughing fish. He poisons a bunch of laughing. He poisons a bunch of fish. Uh-huh. And then he tries to trademark the fish because they look like him. And then I think all of Gotham either doesn't get any fish or some stupid shit like that. But it's like a comical take, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, funny. I've always based on the comic storyline too.
Yeah. I feel like there's been a lot of suffering for the Joker done at the hands of modern adaptations, just trying to make him as dark and gritty as possible, whereas I feel like where the Joker shines is that he is like he's supposed to be an antithesis to Batman, whereas Batman is all serious, all dark, all brooding all the time. Like
order.
I feel like even though the Joker's laughing, if he's laughing in a scary, maniacal way, then it's still like kind of serious. It's still like supposed to be like scary, whereas like no, Batman's supposed to be scary. That's his whole thing. The Joker's supposed to be silly and he just causes destruction.
We should get a funny
in
Joker.
The process.
Yeah.
We need to get a funny, silly Joker. Genuinely hilarious Joker. I think it would be amazing.
I think also
like
just
he throws a jello bomb in like Gotham Harbor or something and turns the entire. And then Batman's like, I'm gonna beat the shit out of you, bitch.
Ooh. Okay, actually,
and Joker's I gotta go.
Imagine that as the villain for like the second Robert Pattinson Batman. It's Joker, but all gags. And,
I was
like,
gonna say
he's
not
even
YouTube prankster
he's not even
style.
Like that deadly. He's mostly like just disruptive. He's like, oh, I see. It's like the Jello thing going along that line. He's like oh, I turned all your major harbors into Jello. You're not going anywhere.
What the fuck is your problem, dude?
Good.
The hell, like, so that would be pretty like antithesis of that movie, especially.
Yeah,
I've been thinking about this premise for a bit, and last night I had a dream that a lot of people were like either had to take the place of villains or like there was a person to, like I was the Joker and I hated that, but because I was like aware, I'm just like, oh god, I've been thinking about my podcast too much.
You are the Joker.
Truly, I am the Junkler.
You do live in a society.
It's true.
Got him.
Yeah.
Is that enough? Have we done? I mean, I guess on the other side of that is Harley Quinn at one point, I want to say.
Yeah.
Mainly because people were like, oh my god, especially the Jared Leto and
Margot Robbie.
Seeing them back and forth. I knew actual toxic couples that were like, that's us. All right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I feel like that's related to the Joker still, but
so
yeah.
So us.
I think just in general, Joker should never like be the main character, in my opinion. I don't know, like he's a force of nature. He's like a thing for Batman.
He's a force of nature,
you know? It's like I also feel like
for Harley Quinn also big they suffering at the newest portrayals of her
farting
and kind of losing the fact. Somebody online was talking about how like the newer portrayals of Harley Quinn just kind of miss out on the fact that she's supposed to be genuinely fucking annoying. Like she's supposed to be so unrelentingly like critical and joking about everything that she is insufferable to be around, and like, and that's the real reason why she's with Joker all the time, is like he's the only one who can literally like suffer her presence, and it's It's like they were just filming was posting every like really terrible joke she made in the animated series, the like the older animated series. And it's like, damn, I miss super annoying. Like Harley
That's
Quinn.
Fair.
Like
I do like how she is like in like her Harley Quinn show and like some of the like I like that she's branched out and made her own character. I will say they're definitely making her
the
more
new
of
Harley
a Looney
Quinn show.
Tune,
I think was
Looney
a good
Tune
one.
Now.
Yes. Yeah,
where she's like farting on like comic and like it's just like she's Deadpool.
That's perfect.
She's literally
that
just
I
Deadpool.
Love. Yes, yeah, she's perfect now.
I was gonna talk briefly about people who, while we're on the topic of Joker, who misidentify with Batman. Because I feel like Batman is also literally insane and like. Isn't actually supposed to be a role model, and there's a lot of people who are like, "Oh, he's why I became a cop," and like, there's a lot of people who see a lot of things that I can't
I'm
even
dark
see in the
and
character.
Broody.
I think it's like not to shift, because I guess I agree with that because you know, I don't know. I can't see that, but you actually bring me to another point that I did want to bring up on this list. We'll wait with Wolf of Wall Street, but we probably should move on to Punisher because that literally is that Punisher.
Yeah,
to the point where it's a plot point Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah,
which is great. Great. Should have actually. It's gonna finish up tonight.
Ooh, right now. As we're recording, I assume.
But yeah, this idea of like people, basically like people who are fans of authoritarianism, like getting enforcing things through violence.
Yeah,
getting behind characters like Punisher and Batman because they think that's what they're really about is just enforcing their ideals through violence.
Yeah.
So like the same reason that they joined the fucking Proud Boys is why they like Batman basically is like these dudes who Punisher.
I think Punisher's the more common one now.
And there's even more like heroes too who like they just completely misread.
It's about
being valiant enough to enforce your own law upon other people with the violence of your own hands.
I feel like you could pick almost any edgy character and actually probably would fit this as well. Like any edgy character.
So I do have comic book Travis characters. Bickle.
Who? Sorry.
I got Travis Bickle, the taxi driver from Taxi Driver.
Sorry.
You talking to me, baby?
Yeah.
Sorry, I never said I was a good impressionist.
That was perfect. No, that was perfect.
You're good improver.
Yeah.
But yeah, hey, Punisher's a weird one because it's like if you actually read any of his comics, it's like not what he's about. And the shows, like a lot of the shows and movies really
he hates
kind of
cops.
Yeah. Well, like most of the movies, except for like Warzone, really, like kind of misconstrue like the show as well. Like it's like not an accurate one to one. It's just so fucking annoying, and it's like
it's Warzone funny. Is so nuts.
I feel like with the Batman side of it, like Christopher Nolan like could have actually taken a chance to address that type of thing and instead turned it into a gag. In Dark Knight where the guys are pretending to be are dressed as Batman gunning down gangsters. And he's like, how come we can't do it? What's the difference between you and me? And he's like, I'm not wearing hockey pants.
Basically, I got billions of dollars, and you like, don't.
Yeah, it's like okay, that's the only thing. So then the lesson is, so as long as you're rich enough to do it in a cool way with better tech, then it's okay. Not
you know,
morally okay.
If you're rich, you could do kind of whatever. So, I mean, you know.
It does track.
Yeah.
All right. So let's. So what we got? We got Punisher. We got Batman. We got those out of the way. I think. And Jonkler, Travis Bickle. You know, the taxi driver,
like the
infamous
Mount Rushmore of these characters. This type of
of the toxic masculinity characters.
Yeah. I mean, should we go to some ladies now? I mean, I guess we did do Harley Quinn, but
actually don't know.
What about Ramona Flowers?
That's a hard one because movie Ramona Flowers, very different from
book,
manga,
comic, whatever. Yeah,
like original comic.
Well,
Flowers, like
all. Of, yeah, it's this list is mainly movie, the movie versions of.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I got some video games for you later if you need them. down the line.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, you know, the I think that entire movie might be like, it's a really good movie, but a lot of people miss the point that, oh, these people are terrible dog shit communicators and they're all
like the pixie dream girl aesthetic. Yeah. I feel like, not that that's bad, but I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like it's pretty common trope amongst a lot of the movies of the time.
Yeah. The point that goes over everybody's head that Gibbledang was saying is like, these characters are supposed to be self-obsessed. Mm-hmm. They are all literally self-obsessed.
Yeah.
None of them like take the time to like stop and be like, oh, what does literally anyone else want? Yeah. All of them are like 100% like, like, I want this. Serve I want myself. This. Me.
It's literally me.
And, like, it's literally all for me.
Yeah.
And so it's like and that's like the whole point of the story is that like by the end of it, Scott realizes that like you don't have to be a stereotypical jerk to be a jerk. Like,
yeah,
if you're still being self-obsessed and not considering other people, you're still being an asshole, even though you're not being like a stereotypical toxic masculinity asshole.
Yeah, selfish. Like, another capacity. I mean, I would say that whole, not the whole movie, but like a lot of those characters in that movie are kind of assholes or selfish. So I think in general,
100%.
Like, it's the comedy there too.
Did y'all watch the new series?
No, I've heard good things, but
I liked it a lot. If you're ever on the fence about it, it was very, very fun.
Because it's like a one to one, right? Different. Or it's like more,
it's like alternate universe. No.
Oh,
no.
Is it not? Okay.
It is a complete alternate universe.
Gotcha. Okay.
It is an alternate timeline retelling where things go differently.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So kind of like, it's basically like, it's not giving away much to say like, it's like, you know, it's basically, it's like one to one for the first episode until it gets to his fight with Matthew Patel, and Scott loses and dies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's episode one. So.
That's episode one of the show. Like, that's the start of the show. Is that basically it's like it's a one to one, and then all of a sudden the thing that's different happens, and then the rest of the show is the fallout of this happening and what that means, and all the different ways that the universe changes and how characters still end up growing and stuff.
Yeah, just a different trajectory.
It's nice because in this version, like, every character, the villains included, all get, like, a positive
arc
character development.
Okay.
So, like, you get to see,
would be better without Scott.
It's interesting.
And honestly, I agree. I feel the same way. Namely about myself. Now I'll go ahead and make a list. Here are 10 reasons why
why I identify with characters who the world would be better without.
Gosh. Okay. Number one. Jeez.
Number one. Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Ooh. Bad influence. Yeah. Does drugs.
Does drugs. Eats too much.
Gives
dog chocolate. Glutton.
Yeah. Body image problems develop.
Yeah. Probably makes out with that dog.
Yeah. The way they eat that sandwich.
I don't want to know.
You know he's putting peanut butter
somewhere.
Can
we move on?
Yeah. So, do you want us to go, or you have
So other characters I identify with? Shaggy. So
Shaggy. hey, it wasn't me. But let's talk about the Wolf of Wall Street.
Uh-huh.
Wolf of Wall Street. Speaking of having that dog in you.
Oh my god, these are all the business bros, the tech. You gotta wake up at 4:30 and have an ice bath, take an ice bath
to
at 4:30
rip the tape off your mouth.
Spend an hour watching TikToks and drinking name brand water pointed out to the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are the the business tech bros, the easily manipulated into pyramid scheme kind of people, you know what I mean? I feel like they're the ones that are really like, oh my god, the Wolf of Wall Street truly is me. I don't know what his name is. It's Leonardo D.
Yeah.
But
I've never
seen that. Oh yeah, the character had a name, didn't he?
Yeah. Leonardo.
Yeah.
Yeah, also speaking of Margot Robbie.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, true.
True.
But there's so much of like the just the fake selling something that just doesn't exist. And I don't mean like product, I mean like an image of just a absolute capitalist piece of shit.
I'll say it's a very capitalistic, glorifying of capitalism, essentially. Like, this is who you, it's one of those videos, like you said, it's like, this is how you get $1 million in a Tesla or Ferrari or whatever the fuck.
And I think it's, yeah, the Bugatti.
Yeah.
No, it's like, sorry, the guy say like Andrew Tate, Bugatti. I feel like it's like, it's even more than that. It's downright glorifying scam culture.
Yeah.
Even more than capitalism. Because it's not telling you to like start a legitimate business and like, you know, put money into your 401k and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's literally like
how to take advantage.
It's literally telling you how to take money from other people and use a scam to make yourself millions off of it.
Yeah.
And that's like, and that's, it's so funny that this is the idea that is like becoming super popular all across like social media, across streaming, across like live streaming, like Twitch and YouTube and shit, and Kick and a whole, literally Kick being a whole streaming site that got launched just because scammers were getting kicked off of Twitch. Yep. Like,
it's fucking wild.
So that they could keep doing gambling streams and shitcoin rug pulls.
Oh, they drive.
They're the kind of audience that meet up in the at 5 a.m. at a Wendy's parking lot. You know what I mean? Where to have their team meeting. Have you seen any of those videos?
No.
Yes.
I've not. I guess, you know, I walked out.
Oh, my God.
It's funny because, like, before this, before Wolf of Wall Street in general, right before that, for a good few years, there was already something else on TV that people used for the same purpose, and that was Suits. That was the dudes from the show Suits.
I do remember that one.
Who the same fucking dudes related to and like looked up to.
That's right. And
scummy, like cutthroat lawyers who will do anything to win, regardless of the morality, regardless of what it takes.
It's
the
funny.
Ends always justify the means.
No matter how many people get in the way, or how many bodies you leave bloodied and bruised along the way, no matter how many people get in your way.
Yourself as an investigatory journalist.
Although it's funny you talk about Suits like that, because like I watched a bunch of seasons because someone I was dating at the time, and she was big into it.
Dahl is a big suit head.
Huh?
You're a big suit head.
Yeah. I remember watching it and being like, God, I fucking hate these people. But I think it's also like, I was like, I think you're supposed to hate
them. I love
them.
It. I'm such a suitor.
Well, there's a character that's corrupt, but the problem is that there's a lot of people who just related to them instead.
And
The main character is he starts more innocent
thing with him. Yeah.
But like, a bunch of dudes watch that show and just right away we're like looking at his boss like, that guy fucking rules.
He's got a nice suit.
That guy.
I would look good in that suit. It's like a big guy.
I love how he makes everyone feel small and insignificant when he talks. That shit rocks.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like,
hell yeah.
It's funny because I think these people identify as like, I would look cool. Like, that guy looks cool, so I would look cool like that. And it's like, you don't look like him or them, which is fine. Look like you. Like,
yeah.
Know,
also,
like,
you can't talk like that.
Yeah, you're not.
You sound
different.
Stupid.
You're
like when you talk. Yeah. It's like when you talk like you are speaking from a script. Like, I'm sorry, but like it's like you don't seem smart. You seem like you've practiced this because you've copied a bunch of really dumb shit.
Yeah,
like,
memorized lines.
Now, I want to transition into Patrick Bateman. Because I also have a bit of a backstory that I've told you, Nate. But let's talk about Patrick Bateman.
From American Psycho.
I mean, obviously, Christian Bale, sexy, you know?
Great
waking
actor.
Up, doing 1,000 abs. Yeah, sure, I guess. Yeah. He's doing 1,000 abs. He's doing 1,000 abs in the morning. He's putting his ice pack. You put the clip here. So I get it. People see that. They're like, oh, yeah, that's awesome, you know? But, I'm actually, I'm the self-obsessed, completely narcissistic psychopath that is just constantly just trying to, like, oh, my God, it's just he's basically a combination of every other character that we've talked about before this.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap with these characters from what it sounds like.
Yeah,
Yeah.
And the dudes who end up relating to him specifically are the dudes who like who have never been in a fight in their entire life, but they truly believe themselves to be like dangerous and like, ooh, everyone's lucky that I follow the rules of society.
Yeah.
Because, like,
I look at people and I just
on the inside, how vulnerable. Oh, I just think about killing everyone. Yeah.
I have like five ways of murdering you right now looking at you.
Yep. Yep.
Meanwhile, if you got yelled at those guys, they would probably start like quivering and not be able to like, carry on a conversation. Yeah, they would like.
Yeah.
So I think we get why Patrick Bateman, you know. But now I want to go into a tangent or a story when I was in college about when I was in theater class. Mm-hmm. What class was this? It either was like beginning acting or beginning improv or acting for theater and television. I forgot what the fuck it was. I forgot what acting class it was, but there was someone in there who was like basically like he had already graduated. He must have been like mid-20s, but he was like an Edgar before the Edgar was really on the scene, because this is like
fire, 2014. Fire.
Mm-hmm. So pioneer, I'm hearing.
A pioneer,
a real pioneer,
a trendsetter.
And funny enough, he like graduated in, with like not in business, but you know, something like that. You know, very sure. Wolf of Wall Street.
Communications, and,
basically. Probably not. So he, you know, in improv class, they assign you to a partner, and they're like, "All right, go on stage and act out a scene in front of everybody, and you know, do an improv scene." And he had this partner. And she would go up to initiate with him every time. Oh,
God.
And she was like, "Oh, hey, how you doing? And like, oh, hey, I'm so glad we're at this park. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking? We're at the park. What do you mean? Like, oh, well, why don't we just sit down? What are you talking about? What do you mean sit down? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I don't know what the problem is so far."
and like the partner would look at the coach and be like, "Okay, we gotta take a break. So, whatever his name was, like, you gotta,
Edgar,
you gotta like." You gotta add back. You gotta like act. Like, do you understand? Like, are you getting it? He's like, "Oh yeah, no, I get it. I get it." Scene starts again. "Oh hey, you know, I'm glad we're at this park. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?"
Oh my god! I would rip my high school hair out.
Yeah, I'm talking about the fucking park. Jesus, do you not know what a park is? You're fucking imbecile.
Couldn't understand just the concept of improv.
Mm-hmm.
He would show up every now and then to class, but at the end we had to do a you know, a monologue for our I think final grade, and he chose the monologue from American Psycho.
Nice.
And he definitely fumbled his way through it.
Yeah,
it'd be like I'll put an ice pack on while doing my crunches and.
You've really committed this to memory.
It's real thinking about it.
No, it's okay. Take your time. The audience, like the coach, just take your time.
Gosh.
I'm on the face and exfoliating gel. Okay, yeah. And then, he's like, "Okay, I remember where to sit. Let's get a good back. I need to catch up." It's so
that's
fucking.
That's so funny. Oh my god.
What the fuck was he doing in an improv class? Like, that wasn't his major, was it? Or, I mean, you probably don't know him, but still, just what the hell?
No.
Fucking hell.
No. Either way.
Taking an elective, I guess.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
Incredible stuff. Yeah.
No, that sounds great. That's actually where I learned my improv.
He's probably doing better than I am.
Yeah, he's done my improv. That's where I got my improv skills from.
No. Yeah, true, what are you talking about?
From that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, from him, actually.
Yeah, actually, not that. This.
Yeah, no, not the class. From him. Like, from Edgar himself.
I was going to say, you were mentioning female characters as well. Who we only talked about Harley Quinn briefly.
Ramona Flowers. Actually, I was going to bring up another Ramona. One right now too.
Oh yeah, I mean, I had some to think of.
Oh, pop off, Queen.
Pretty much all the characters from Sex and the City.
Jesus Christ! I don't know.
I can relate.
I don't know.
You gotta see the show.
Anybody who's see that show. You're such a Samantha. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like that. Literally
you're right.
That.
Oh my God, you're such a
you're
Samantha.
And people do it about all the characters. And 100% of the time, it's always them like associating themselves with just little quirky things about that character, and the show like extensively goes into the flaws of the characters and how like they really can deeply cut these women's personal lives, and how like they all self-sabotage, basically they all manage to sabotage themselves because of these flaws. And people just ignore that, and they're like, "I make jokes about sex. I'm such a Samantha." And
don't we all?
Oh, I talk to myself sometimes. I'm such a Carrie. And
it's you are. Like,
it's like, meanwhile, like, no, like Carrie has like problems with self-worth, and it like leads to her letting herself literally be abused sometimes by men, even though she's like a extremely high like paid like influential journalist and stuff, like someone you'd think wouldn't take shit from anybody, but she still does because it's about self-image. It's like, I don't know, there's just things that people I feel like miss so much with those characters.
Yeah,
and I grew up in a household with four sisters, and so shows like Sex and the City I've seen a lot of.
That's why I was wondering. I was like, and Middle Earth, Star Wars, Sex and the City, the three pillars of
Sex and the City, Gilmore Girls, Bend It Like Beckham. Like, that's, I also fair. Know that the female highlights.
Yeah. Like, that, I mean, it's a good pull. I've never seen it. That's why I'm like, okay. But I was surprised you'd seen it too. But that makes sense.
Yeah, fucking women. Jeez.
Can I?
So like, not what I said. That's definitely what Gibbledag is saying.
Or I guess, but sure you know what's
clear on that. Yeah. I had a poignant and clear point about Sex and the City.
Well, no, speaking of poignant, I feel it's so funny that the main characters that people seem to identify with are obviously like either critiques written by like queer men or movies directed by women that are like complete, not critiques, like they're trying, they're showing like, don't idolize these guys. Yeah. Don't be like these people, you know what I mean? And it's from communities that strictly know, like, oh, fucking, we're completely impacted by these people, you know what I mean? And then it completely gets like misconstrued and just like, oh yeah, I'm Patrick Bateman.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Tyler Durden. Fucking Tyler Durden, yeah. Because Fight Club. David Fincher. I believe David Fincher. Is it David Fincher? Yeah.
Fincher.
He's gay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just the death of, it's just like the modern death of nuance, and just how the like majority of people who are consuming these things, they don't have the like literary comprehension to understand that somebody can be a character and not a role model, and can be a main character and not a role model. They think every story they engage with, they're supposed to relate to the main character. And it's these also like these very simplistic thinking people who hate on things like that come out in a lot of media and who talk about like wokeness and stuff like that. It's the reason why they're upset when like a franchise they like is like, oh, is now the main character of the TV show is a black woman instead of a white man. Yeah. They're like, what's up with wokeness? You're forcing it because they still can't get it through their thick skulls that you don't have to relate and see yourself in the main character to consume and enjoy a story and to appreciate it.
You can still relate, even.
I think it's just like a form of narcissism where people can't, they can't care about something unless they can see themselves in it.
God.
If it's not about them through relation, then they can't care about it because they can only care about what's about them.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these types of people too also just lack the empathy, perspective taking, like in jet as well, like upon that, and hence why when they see Patrick Bateman throwing a chainsaw at a woman like from like 50 floors up or whatever, you know, they're like not like, oh shit, that poor woman or anything. They're like, that's sick, I'm the guy that's also a guy, you know, he looks cool.
Instead of thinking like, man, it would suck to die by chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes before that, the dude is having a fucking three-way.
Yeah,
so like, of course, so cool. Like, people watching that are like, oh, that's fucking tight, that's, I want that to be me. And then so fucking right after that, it's like, you know,
such a funny scene though, because he's like fucking them like while flex, it's just so like stupid, it looks so goofy, it's like funny
flexing at himself.
Funny enough, I forget, earlier in the conversation it reminded me recently, I don't think I had this issue because I only recently saw Boondock Saints, But that's another like college Fight Club style poster movie. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I could imagine, but I saw like last year and was like laughing the whole time because I was like, this is so fucking goofy. I love it.
I had to take my work truck into Big O Tires today, and that was playing in there.
That was
that's so funny. Nice. Boondock
He's
Saints.
Gay. Yeah. He likes classical music. Yeah.
Perfect. Actually, no, 10 out of 10 movie.
Yeah, I love
it's
edgy
just
characters.
Everyone's not identifying with Willem Dafoe. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's gay.
That's
true.
That they gotta.
That's the one you're supposed to do. He's the one that you're supposed to identify with.
Yeah, that's the.
No, it's funny. I'm like, I really love edgy characters because I love them though because they're just so goofy and dumb. Like they're just like yeah. That's what I love about them. Actually, speaking of which, do you mind if I go with an edgy-ish character?
But you want to bring something up? Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't really talk about video games, but one that came to mind, actually two for video games, but the main one that came to mind was Pyramid Head, a character solely developed to be the embodiment of one specific guy's trauma, who just has a really cool design, became the mascot of Konami and Silent Hill, at least Silent
franchise,
Hill.
Franchise, yeah.
And he's used in like movies, other things in places where it's like, that it's symbolically doesn't make sense. Like that's if I took,
robbed of its context.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's not as, you know, this is more just like a misconstrued. It's not like, luckily anyone, as far as I'm aware, is like, I identify as Pyramid Head because there's not really much.
So Pyramid Head. Yeah,
there's not much like to tag, like attach to. But yeah.
It's more of like the misuse of like his imagery.
Yeah.
He's just more of tied to like the franchise as a face now.
Exactly. It's like, this is a cool design. Let's make it a woman version now. And it's, I forget the girl version, but she has big boobs and, you know, and it's like this character that's meant to be like a creepy one-off thing kind of, or like, you know, the boss, but whatever. It's like just misconstrued by its own crew, like not the own creator, but like the own company, I guess. That's more of a...
It's popularity.
Yeah.
That's a popularity thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When things become bigger than what they originally... Oh, that'd be another good premise.
They can't let it die.
Yeah.
It outgrows it.
Yeah. And I have one more, too, if you want. Actually, which is funny, because I saw an interview with... So, David Jaffe, he's a video game creator. He made Twisted Metal and God of War, like the big two, like the original God of War. Like he created Kratos and like the games, whatever.
Nice.
And I saw an interview, and this is funny because this is like the opposite in where I'm like, I disagree with the creator, where he's kind of doing the opposite, where he's in the interview. He was like, when I made Kratos, he was just meant to be like rage and like kind of like this edgy character, rage and just like destruction. And like his character storyline is like done. But then, like, he was complaining about the, like, I think Santa Monica Studios, like, the 2016 reboot or, like, part four and whatever, you know? Because it's, like, there's, like, character development. He has a son, you know, he's growing as a character. And David Jaffe is like, what the fuck? Like, no, he was made to be just...
He doesn't like that he's not an embodiment of rage anymore.
Yeah, and it's, like, the opposite flip where it's, like, interesting. I'm like, I don't agree with you. I think it's more interesting, at least if we're going to continue, especially. It's, like...
Oh, yeah. This I think it's incredibly compelling to see him change.
So it's just, that's the only time I can think of where it's the opposite, where I'm like, I actually agree with the perceptions after, which is related, but not quite like the same. But yeah.
I think like that is, God of War did such a good job with evolving a character in a way that reboots and revisits very rarely do well.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't just go back to the same thing.
No, they
didn't evolve it in a way that felt unnatural and inorganic and purposeless. It was something that felt like rewarding, engaging, like, and even had a little bit of a full circle to it with him kind of deciding, like, spoilers, just for anybody who hasn't played the second one, God of War Ragnarok. Him kind of deciding that he is going to be a god again, and he is going to be a god of the people again. Like, he's going to be the god of war, but he represents something else about war rather than just destruction.
Yeah.
He represents...
The fight for, like, good.
Or the fighting for good, yeah. Fighting against evil, standing up for a people, for a community, and, like, people fighting together.
Yeah. You know, I one last bit on David Jaffe, though. Just, like, it's funny because I'm thinking about it and I'm like, when he created Kratos, I remember seeing videos where it's like he created Kratos and Twisted Metal, and he was like, I saw a video years ago where he's like talking about in therapy, you know, all these characters are kind of part of me and like my rage and like whatever mm-hmm. my like whatever frustrations or whatever. And oh, so
rage, sure. I just have so
I'm like seeing him
just so edgy.
Yeah, it kinda. But I think seeing him get upset that Kratos grew might be indicative that maybe he hasn't like as a person.
He hasn't done like, that legwork. Yeah. The real reason is it reminds him that he never made any progress in therapy.
Because like all of his characters are kind of edgelord dudes or like dark edgy, but that's the last I just wanted to bring on that part as far as like the video games.
But throughout all of that, there's something that I did I was thinking about in terms of both comic book characters and people kind of outgrowing their their own scope. Mm-hmm. But so many people identified with Spider-Man to the point where they started introducing different versions of Spider-Man. They started introducing Black Spider-Man, and then all of a sudden they just went ahead and they were just like, okay, multiverse, to the point where Spider-Man has like kind of trends almost like with Pyramid Head, where he's transcended his like what Spider-Man is, because so many people identify with him and are just like, that's literally me.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where like now it's like anybody can be Spider-Man, you know.
As a consequence, it also means like Spider-Man, if Spider-Man is anyone, then Spider-Man is no one, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's not his own character anymore.
It's so big. It's exploded outside of itself.
I'm fine with that because I think just also mainline Spider-Man in the comics sucks currently. And it's like, I think it's also just nice to like, for little kids that like, there's like a Black kid to be like, I want to read Spider-Man. And then there's like Spider-Man I can read that's good. Like Miles is good. I can't speak for every other like, the Pakistani Spider-Man really probably like doesn't have
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, like not every race.
It'd be racist if they if they made a Black Peter Parker.
Wait, would it be racist?
People would get mad about it. Yeah, people would if that's
mad.
What you're
people
wondering.
Would get mad about it.
But they'd be
but
mad about
like,
it. Yeah,
no, it would not be. It would not be offensive at all.
Be Miles. Yeah, because what if there's like a Black kid that's like I identify with Peter more than Miles.
Yeah, and that's one thing I think. I don't think you have to be the race of the person inherently to like have some kind of like relating to. I mean, I'm not Jewish, but I relate with Spider-Man like at times back when he was like how he used to be. not after he became like a billionaire and any of that bullshit, or you know, sold his wife to the devil or whatever.
Speaking of Marvel, a character who I think a lot of people like wrongly identified with. And this is kind of a whole theme that kind of goes with Joker too. Was Thanos. And like,
what?
Yeah. So,
well, maybe.
Oh, 100%.
It's not as bad though.
Like all of the Thanos was right, bros.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
all the people who try to
people
who
are
try
like,
to think
I am
that
Thanos.
They are who they well the way that they identify isn't as much as oh he's me. It's more like
I like
oh,
his plan.
I get it. I like his ideas. Yeah. Like oh he's actually right because nuance is dead and they can't understand like the concept of the ends not justifying the means. Yeah. And
I think that's more just agreeing with like missing the point rather than being like that is me. Mm. You know what I mean? But like I agree, but I mean that's more of like people just not being
I think
like,
people
no, that's,
don't
why
realize
would that be a good thing?
I think when people when agree with it with that they don't realize they are relating themselves to him, and like because those are the same people who then will go and like support Trump, and then when Trump starts disappearing people to concentration camps, they're like, man, see, it's good to be ruthless about crazy wild ideals. This is perfect. Like, this is exactly what I want. This is exactly what we're talking about. And like, I feel like it is a whole category of person still, and they don't realize that they take it casually of like just agreeing with villains
without really thinking it through
shit,
or
without thinking like, it through that they are relating themselves to a
lack
like,
of
someone who's genocidal
perspective,
like,
taking an empathy of human beings and
yeah,
others' plights or others' things. I mean, yeah, I think it's like related. I wouldn't. Yeah,
it's related. It's really yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think of characters in the Sonic universe, but I'm like, I don't personally know if anyone's like I'm Sonic, and like also misinterpreting it, you know. So I
feel like there was another one that I came up with, which is interesting because this character, I think he is both identified with all the time and people relate to him. And in doing so, they do so in a very naive way that is not very like truthful to real
Jesse.
Like, and it's but at the same time, my interpretation of that character is very different. And then I relate to my interpretation of that character. And so, and that's Luke Walter Skywalker.
White. Oh,
I thought it was Luke, good bait and switch.
A lot of people, the way that they think about Luke Skywalker, especially the older crowd, is a, you know, do no wrong, always perfect, always trying his best. And, you know, and is powerful enough to never fail and should never fail ever. And they aggrandize themselves and they see themselves in him because they see themselves as someone who is so moralistically correct that they can never fail. And it is an insufferable person, like type of person that I know. I was deep into the Star Wars fandom.
You were,
especially during the sequel definitely were. I removed myself because because being in the Star Wars fandom and on like the internet and actually in the discussion was torture with people who have no literacy and no empathy skills no ability to like. To understand rounding out a character and not believing that a character should be all positives all the time with no flaws.
It's a good one.
Especially people who then insist that that is why they like him and relate to him. And so I'm like, so you're delusional. You are literally a delusional.
I only ever do anything good. All the time.
Yeah.
My mommy told me.
And, very dog shit and annoying character in the first two movies anyway, so I don't get what people, people romanticize about him, because the first movie is just a stupid dipshit who kisses his sister, and then the second movie he kisses his sister again and loses a hand, and then the third movie he's just mysteriously cool. No.
And doesn't kiss his sister.
It
sucks.
And people
constantly miss the point of the third movie being that he spends that whole movie quite literally dabbling in the dark side and doing bad things.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, he realizes he's been so aggressive and confrontational, and that's not the way to go about things. And that's like the whole point. And anyways, it's just.
They kiss his sister.
Mm-hmm. But so what about, I removed what myself about, from that fan.
I related to that part.
When episode nine happened, I fully removed myself from caring about Star Wars at all. Basically,
damn.
Yeah, so, I mean, somehow you choice. Have returned. Here you are.
Good choice. But
now we should move on to what about the characters that we actually identify with? You know, with all of that being said, there are some characters that you know, that I'm able to look at and be like, oh, that's funny. That's me a little bit without taking the piss, I guess. But yeah, you know, funny enough, one of these characters I didn't realize I had a lot in common with until gym leader Nate brought it to my attention was Jake Peralta from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Andy Samberg, which is funny because, like, you know, we... Nate and I used to work with each other, and I think he was rewatching that show after some time, and he'd be like, Jesus Christ, that guy is fucking, he's annoying and he's you. And I'm just like, all right. And I started watching that show, and you know, he was a, growing up, I had wanted to be a detective and a crime solver, and that's kind of what Jake Peralta's main character is. And obviously it's Andy Samberg, and he's, you know, gonna be funny and annoying. But also, his character had some strained familial issues that I definitely related to that really informed his character, and in so many different funny ways. I think of the clip where he talks to his lieutenant, and the lieutenant's like, "Good job," and Jake's like, "Thank you, Dad." And the entire precinct goes silent and is just like looking at them too.
He's like, "What? Why is everybody looking at me?
Like, what?
You just called Captain Holt them... Dad." What? No,
I didn't.
Nice.
And then another one is one that I've talked about on an episode before is Sandman. Morpheus, you know? I don't want to talk about the author of the book, but you know, it is a very moving story about growth, and that no matter how old or powerful, not like saying that that's what I identify with, but that you could look sleepy back and change, and that you could grow from places that you didn't think you could, or you could move past things that you didn't even issues that you didn't even know you had, you know?
Yeah.
It's never too late
to re-examine yourself.
Exactly. Or to make amends with people, or to, you know, create yourself anew, basically. And that's something that I really identify with, you know? I also happen to be a moody, freaking twiggy goth boy, so I mean, I'm sure that probably...
That definitely helps.
Yeah, I'm sure that helps, but... You know, it's just things that I've definitely identified with, you know, like, I mean, even to, like, just to give an example, just his treatment of women, or the way that he thought of his, like, ex-wife, I believe her name was Nala. He was like, oh, I want to promise you the world. I want you to be my queen. And she's like, I can't betray my people. Like, you know, I'm not just going to choose you over everything. And he sends her to hell. And then he's just like, yeah, that's what I needed to do. And he tells his sister about it. And she's like, what the fuck's your problem? You're a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. God, the amount of exes I've sent to hell, guys.
That's the part you're like, man.
Those...
The amount of exes I have imprisoned in a primordial cage in the fires of hell.
You know, I created the Nine Circles myself by sending exes.
But yeah, but just, you know, that's beautiful story. But
yeah,
check it out if you want to. It's okay if you don't.
If you get
it, watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I was like, read it online, either illegally or go to like a used bookstore and get it.
Illegally, for sure. Yeah. Or a YouTube video.
Like Jake Peralta, a character who I think that's a good character to see yourself in, because it is truly like a story of him growing through from a naive idealism.
Mm-hmm.
To like facing the reality of the world and himself and what he really wants, even though it's a comedy. And I feel like that's rare these days, is like having comedies that actually give their characters growth instead of just doing all yucks all the time. Like,
Speaking of Charlie Kelly from It's Always Sunny, because
he's such a good
Jesus
one.
Christ, my life is just hunting and killing rats now, and it's oh my god, it's getting so depressing.
And Dale Gribble too,
it's
right?
Honestly getting it's getting so fucking
it's getting to you, you're starting to, it's like
every time I pick up a
Gibble
trap
Dang in front of the
in
pin board,
they're everywhere. Pepe Silva.
No, not even that, it's more of like I pick up a trap and there's one in there and I'm looking at it in the eyes and I'm just like, is my life any more valuable than yours? I could be stuck in a glue trap tomorrow. It could be any one of us.
I could be stuck.
You know,
you're kind of descending into a little like Kafka-esque, like introspective, like
metafiction.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, you're becoming metaphysical, like.
Whatever. Ooh. What about you guys? Oh, and you know what? Actually, one more. Alana Glazer. I don't know if that's the actress's name, but...
Who?
Honestly, either of the either of the leads from Broad City. They're both... two pot-smoking freaking mid-20s, or I guess late 20s. Yeah, early 30s. Really. I don't know. Scavengers? Rat people?
Mm-hmm.
I like them.
Yeah.
I binge watched that show recently.
It's a good one.
All right. Nice. Now, what about you guys?
Great cast.
One I would like to bring up for me is Fry from Futurama.
Oh, that's such a good one, too.
I feel
nice.
Consistently confused in over my head, doing the best I can. It's never really enough because I'm never quite getting there, but but like I'm trying to stay positive and trying to keep a smile on my face and tell jokes with my friends and, you know, get through life one step at a time. Mm-hmm. So,
and you're from the past.
I was gonna say you got sent to the future.
And I'm a delivery boy.
And you're your own grandfather.
Oh, well, shit. Yeah, that's true.
I do love that episode where Fry is like, nah, she's not my grandma. Like, after he does the deed, he looks at her and she's like crocheting. Has like an ear horn thing.
It's such a... Yeah, what?
Yeah, what? He's like, still looks the same otherwise. It's like, come on.
Yeah, that's definitely one for me.
Do you have any more or do you want me to...
Well, there's the Luke Skywalker thing. There was Luke Skywalker, and honestly, I think that's a big one again for me. Where like when I grew up and found out how other people interpreted Luke Skywalker, I was very confused because I did see him as a fucking whiny, annoying.
And you related
idealist.
To that. And you related to that.
And I did. That's funny. The journey for being whiny, from going That's from fair. Whiny, self-obsessed to empathetic and more aware of problems and conflicts outside of yourself, mm-hmm. like, and being aware at your own failings, and that like strong-headedness and a positive attitude can't just get you through all of life. As much as it helps, you know, there are some times where like you're just gonna fail, and those are the times that are even more important to keep going. And it's like things like that, like I always really related to, mm-hmm. and then I like grew up and found out that no one else saw the character that way, and I was very confused. And then I like watched Last Jedi, and I was like, this movie's genius. I love what they did with this character, and everyone was really vocally violently like, mad about it, yeah. And it just still was so confusing to me.
It's the beginning and of like, the saga of getting the opposite of whatever the majority likes or doesn't.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's like I felt like it's been me a lot of my life where I felt like I tried not to be a contrarian, but at the end of the day I just was so confused all the time as to why people saw things mm-hmm. the way they did. Now it makes a lot more sense. I just still don't like it.
Yeah. But I like you for it. You know, we have to have those people Aww. That challenge us and aren't just yes men or whatever.
And yeah. just like me, I'm right in the middle. I'm kind of tolerating it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. There's this. It's like, reminds me of this post I saw the other day that was like, what if it's not rage bait? What if it actually is my dog shit opinion?
What then? Both could be true. Shit. Both can simultaneously.
What you gonna do?
Yeah. That's just the way
what
I am.
What about you, Dalini?
Yeah, I mean, I got a few, actually. But, I mean, as mentioned earlier, nice. Spider-Man, like, back when he's, like, broke, like, dude trying to just figure out life, I think, was something. Something more recent, movie-wise, and I think this is why I'm also just, like, I think it is really, mm-hmm. this is my the woke substance. Statement, but I think this is why it's really good to have people of color, of different cultures and stuff is the Blue Beetle movie. I remember watching that and being like, oh, I fucking
oh hell yeah,
the movie's that's like true. All right movie, not like amazing, but I'm like, I just love that it's like I've that's had good. Like uncles like that, I've like that's such a like accurate portrayal, like, you know, this house looks Mexican just like culture. A house like my like yeah. you know half of my family grew up in, you know. So I think just, and that's not like more like, yeah. it's not like I'm like, oh my God, I'm Blue Beetle or I'm George Lopez, but more just like, I can relate to like, you know, it's just a culture like thing more so, I guess, in that regard. The other one, like, I mean, I figured you were gonna talk about Sandman. I was gonna talk about the Vertigo, like early Vertigo comics in general. It's like Doom Patrol, Sandman is in that, Animal Man was a big one. I think the biggest, though, I'll probably just talk about is like Shade, the Changing Man. I think for me, just all those Vertigo comics I read like during college, and Shade was the one I got right at the end of college as I was graduating. So that it was like a perfect, like the perfect book at the perfect time. It's about Shade yeah. is about this man or alien, I guess, technically from another dimension. Gets sucked into the body of a serial killer, and Earth at the same at the time of his execution, like electric chair, and the serial killer is related to the main love interest of the, I think her name's Kathy, who, like, weeks before the serial killer had killed her boyfriend in in the South. Like, she was taking her black boyfriend to go, you know, meet her parents, and then on the way the serial killer killed her parents, and then when they got there he attacked the boyfriend and the cops came and shot the boyfriend because he was black, and then he went, Terry Gresner, the serial killer, went to the electric chair. Yeah. And that's not the part I relate to, but more so just, it's a very romance based, like, travel based story. So, like, Shade and Kathy, and then they get other people along the way, Lenny, other characters. And it's a lot about, like, love and just, like, traveling and changing and, like, who am I and, like, identity. And I think just for me, it was, like, that perfect time where I was, like, reflecting on, like, college and all the romances and the, you know, my experience and how I grew and friends and stuff. And it's, like, literally about that. And it's also just got a cool, like, psychedelic style that just really fit at the time for me. I think that's, like, the last one. I mean, it's podcasters, other podcasts. I feel like there's a lot of them I feel like I can kind of relate to. Like, it's funny because I was thinking about it before the prompt actually was given to us. I was listening to Castle Super Beast. And it's a video game based podcast where there's these two guys, and one of them is just notorious for having these called Mind Goblins, where he just has to do, like, it's OCD. It's essentially OCD. And in one of the conversations, he was like, yeah, like, so I went into my Hollow Knight because I wanted to replay Hollow Knight. So I deleted my 104% save so I could just start a new save. And Wooly was like, why didn't you just use slot 2? He's like, that's stupid, because then I would have to go down and select the second slot every time I want to play. And it was just one of those scenes where I'm like, I cannot fucking relate to Pat at all. I am with you 100%. Wooly. Yeah.
That is insane.
It's one of those things.
That's like me talking to my girlfriend about Pokemon and how, like, when I was a kid, like, some people, like, the way she treated her Pokemon was, like, she had her first save file, and then she never deleted that save file, and just...
As you do.
You know, it lived forever, because if you deleted it, the Pokemon would be gone, and I was, like, meanwhile, in my mind, I was, like, oh, man, the second I beat the Elite Four every game, I would basically turn the game off, turn it back on, and hit new game, and, like, start again. And, I played through, like Emerald so many times. Mm-hmm. If I had one Pokemon that I hadn't used ever before, and I was like, wow, this was actually a really cool Pokemon to use, and I really liked him. Since I was so into it, and, like, that was the only thing I bought, like, video game stuff for was the Game Boy stuff. Mm-hmm. I would transfer the Pokemon from my Emerald to Sapphire, and then just leave it in the boxes in my Sapphire so that I can new game the Emerald again and play again.
Nice.
And, like...
That Pokemon's different, though, to a degree, because there is only one save. So it's like, if you do really want to start fresh, you really...
Yeah.
That's fair. Where, like, for me, it's like DKC, like, series was, like, my jam. And it's like, slot 1 is the one where you 100% or 104% it. And then the others are if you want to start a new game or just fuck around or friends want to play, you know?
Yeah, you're showing the game to somebody exactly. Who hadn't played it before.
Yeah, you go to slot 2 or 3 even sometimes. That just made me... It's funny because that happened, and I was like, I relate so much with Wooly, and I was thinking of my other podcasts, and I was like, I don't think I have, like... I think usually most podcasts I relate to everyone, and, like, if it's a group thing, more so. But that was one where I'm like, I'm 100% with you.
But that's Rick Glassman, shout out. I think I said that, like, last week or 2 episodes ago, probably. Because I used to play basketball with LeBron James.
Nice.
LeBron James.
For me, it's Joe Rogan, because I'm always asking
my friends. Play basketball with Joe Rogan?
No. Nice.
Sorry. I do want to say one more real quick, which is just, like, something that's less known. Same. since we brought up, like, video games and comic books as well. From the world of books.
Ooh.
On two levels. One, there was Aragorn from the Aragorn series. I think a big reason why I was able to really, despite the fact that there were dragons, a big draw for me to that book was that I very much related to the main character,
the dragon,
who went from being very, again, like, yeah, very naive. The dragon, yeah. No, Aragorn went from being very naive and very unaware of himself, not self-aware, and he wasn't introspective at all, really. He didn't have the skills to be able to examine himself. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, like, he grows to a point where he knows himself so well that he knows how to say no to himself and how to, like, basically deny the things he wants because he knows they're not good for him or for anything or for anyone else. Like, a big point with that book was, like, spoiler alert, if you were planning on reading the entire Aragorn series in the next couple of years, yeah. Like, his main love interest in the books that is, like, spans throughout all four books, at the very end, like, basically both he and his love interest, like, both agree, like, they mm-hmm. can't be together and that it's a bad idea. And that was, like, he, like, basically matures enough to know the difference between, like, strong feelings and strong feelings paired with a center of reason and self-examination and stuff like that. And I liked that a lot. And more recently, the Brandon Sanderson books, the Stormlight Archives, there's a character in that named Adolin Colin. And Adolin, I related to him a lot as well. And that's mostly about my relationship with my dad. And ooh, because
learning a lot. I gotta read to figure out what your relationship is with him.
He's very defined by his relationship to his father, who is seen as, like, powerful and in command and flawless and, like, or not flawless, but like a force, and who is now obsessed with, like, being a force for good. And there's that one. That's a big one. That one's more me trauma bonding with a character.
Like, I have to read it so I can know. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting.
Yeah, if you ever read that book, you'll get a little. You'll glean a little bit about.
I'll finally be able to relate to you, Gym Leader Nate. I'll be like, oh my god, that's me. It's literally it's not me. Easy. It's me, Gym Leader.
When people
Nate.
Just see me, like, in a corner stimming and being like, skibbity toilet, skibbity. Oh, like, god. They're like, hey? That's a.
No,
that's
I don't relate anymore.
30-year-old that's two in the jar. Man saying that.
Yeah, the jar. Money in the jar.
They're like. People are so thrown off that I've got brain rot at 31 that they.
It's. I think it's not uncommon though, too. I don't know.
Chicken jockey. Wow, that was literally us, guys. That was us.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. Literally. Wow.
Yeah.
Do us have any plugs?
If people literally want to see literally me, they can find me at Gym Leader Nate on everything. Nothing going on right now. But yeah, if they want to follow me, that's where any updates about my life will be.
Yeah, if you literally want to follow me at Gibble Dang, I just posted my first custom in like a year. The Ally Punisher, nice. LGBTQ Punisher. Hell yeah.
Nice.
You know what? If that pisses you off, I'm sorry, sweaty. Sorry if that picture
so
rocks
sorry.
Your tongue.
I'm sorry,
your
snowflake.
Fragile masculinity. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww.
Ghost. Grim Reaper. Flame.
flipping off you off. Well, not screen. It's a shirt. That was it. But if you literally want to see my artwork and drawings and things, you can follow me at didala.art on Instagram. And also play. Sorry, we're closed because it's literally about me. Oh, yeah. That game's basically me.
Ooh, literally. Oh,
it's so literally you.
It's basically.
And why don't we?
You're such a Samantha.
Why don't we literally give a shout out to Samantha?
Yeah.
Good job, shout Samantha. Out to being literally Samantha.
Also,
oh my god,
listeners,
such a Samantha.
If there's anyone you relate to, put it in the comments because we want to know who you
literally.
Yeah, but no jokers.
Put it in the comments.
Shout out to introspection.
Shout out to introspection.
Shout out to whiny ass bitch Luke Skywalker.
Bitch ass Luke
shout
Skywalker.
Shout out to whiny Luke
shout
Skywalker.
Shout out to the fact that most of the people on this list were straight white men.
Yeah.
Which in the
shout
first time it makes
Flowers.
Sense. Yeah. Oh, it's okay.
Shout out to Patrick Bateman. Shout out to people identifying with a serial killer.
Hell yeah, it's a pyramid head. And shout out to David Jaffe. Get some more therapy out there, dude. Like,
oh yeah.
Don't
shout
you
out to let's encourage David Jaffe to go back to therapy and maybe finish.
Yeah.
Make some progress.
Make sure you do.
you for listening to No Dumb Idea.